What I'm going to say right now, I'm hoping is not ever going to be true. Certainly don't want it to be true. But there really could be a time in our lifetime where we don't have the trappings nor the organization as it exists right now of the church as we configure it in our minds and as we practice it right now to communicate what church is. You understand what I'm saying? We could face a time where we don't have all the things we rely upon to practice and do church available to us the way we have them available to us right now. There's a lot of things that could cause that to happen. But the reality is it is a possibility. I know you could say, Rick, there's a ton of other hypothetical things we could position. And, well, yeah, you're right. But come on now. Raise your finger, see which way the wind's blowing, okay? Things are not friendly to you and I if we follow Jesus. They're just not. Which means we need to kind of think about things a little differently. So today we're going to do something a little different. You're going to actually have to do a little bit of the work today. It's not me talking to you. It's going to be you with one another doing something. So here's what we're going to do. If all you had were a Bible and two or three people that you knew you hung out with, how would you explain church? No, I'm not asking for an answer. It's one of those rhetorical questions, okay? It's one of those rhetorical questions because it's just the first thing. I'm not asking you to answer it for a group. I'm asking you to get with three or four people and figure out what are you going to say. You got a Bible and you have three or four people and you're going to encounter somebody that needs to understand or that you know needs to understand church, but you can't tell them to go to a building. You can't tell them that you have a worship service in a building or you go someplace and do something. That doesn't exist anymore. How are you going to tell them what church is? Your task today is to find a way to explain church. You are going to use your Bibles and identify 2 to 3 passages that you would use to explain church. You're also going to decide how you can communicate what church is using those 2 or 3 verses. You don't have to just use words. You can use actions. You can use behaviors, whatever. Expand your definition of how you communicate. But you've got to find a way to communicate to somebody that does not understand church. Now, I'll give you this. We're going to assume that they are at least receptive to the message of the gospel. Even if they have not received Jesus, they are receptive. And you are trying to communicate to them, what is church? Now, is that clear enough for you? Or do I need to clarify that a little bit more? You're going to get in groups of 4 or 5, no more than 5, please. Get in groups of 4 and 5. You got a Bible, and you got one another, and you have to find a way to tell somebody what church is. Yes, sir, Bobby. You cannot bring up a building or an organized structure or organized thing. You have to explain church in a way where people are not gathering in a large setting. But you can use your Bible. Absolutely. Yes. Questions? Everybody understand? And what we're going to do, after you have had about 20 to 25 minutes in your groups, each group is going to share what you came up with as to what passages you would use, what you would say about them, or how would you communicate what church is. So you all are preaching today in more ways than one. Everybody understand? Okay, groups of four or five, no more than five, please. But let's kind of debrief. And I've got three questions in the back of my mind that I kind of want to see where we go and how things gravitate around these questions. The first question is simply, what is church? Second question, why is there a church? And the third question is, what does church do? So we're going to see if the things that you share deal with those questions. All right? Okay, so what is church? Why is there a church? And what does church do? All right. We're just going to go with the first group because they're in front. So this group, what would you tell us about explaining church? Was there any passage that you would say was for you a foundational passage? One or two. Okay, where two or three are gathered in my name. Okay? All right. And that was from the Gospels. Okay? All right. We'll move on. Next group. Claudia's group and Pam's group and Bobby's and Sophia's. Just to explain church. I don't want you to necessarily answer the individual question. I think that we will answer the questions as we get around. 1 Corinthians 12:12. Okay. Nothing to do with building or even gatherings, does it? Nothing there. Okay. All right. Don's group. What do we have? Okay. Body. Now we're focused. Kind of brought that. Yeah. A body. We brought the idea of the body in. Okay. All right. We are the church. And our little thing is you can't go to church. You have to be the church. You can't go there. You know, we have to be, as Paul put it, the ambassadors. And, you know, we've had a lot of talk about ambassadors lately because of what went on in Libya. You know, our ambassador was assassinated or was murdered or whatever. And so we focused on ambassador, but we forget that you and I are the ambassadors of the kingdom. And we represent the kingdom to the world that we are living in. Just like the person who's the ambassador from the United States has to basically explain and interpret the intentions and the ways of our nation to another nation that doesn't share the same worldview. That make sense to you? We as ambassadors have to have the capacity to be able to engage the other culture and embody and explain what the kingdom of God is. And that's what the church is, the kingdom of God here. If it's the sum total of all the people who follow Jesus. Again, the reason why I wanted you to have to deal with this, and you do know, please don't let this be arrogance that you hear. You do know there are not many churches that will even go through this exercise. They will not ask the question of themselves, if you strip it all the way, what's left? We have to be willing to ask the question. Because when we do, what we find is what's really important. What is the message? What is the good news that we have? Because we have far too often depended upon the trappings of the culture to define something that is not of the culture. That makes sense? We are defined by our citizenship in heaven. And we get to enjoy eternal life here and now. And then in eternity too. But we are the ambassadors who are supposed to be going into the culture that we live in and embody eternal life. The people of God. And what are we going to say and do and show them? Because they hear that word church all the time. And unfortunately, the culture's co-opted a lot of what that means. And we will be fruitful for the kingdom if we are able to transcend all of that and be church. This is just, when it comes down to brass tacks, people do silly things, okay? But we get in an environment where we have to find a way in the government to make more money, to pay for things. Okay? And it really begins to look good, and we make excuses and we use examples of all these ministries, okay, that exist that are taking in a lot of money. And people will then say, well, they misused money, and they misused money, and they misused money. And yeah, they did. But then they can use that to say, all those people that do that don't deserve to have tax-exempt status because they're abusing that. And so very quickly, somebody says, no, let's pass a law where we don't give tax-exempt status to those churches anymore. What's going to happen to all those churches that built their kingdom on their building? Because they're going to have to pay taxes on it. And they can't do it because they can barely make the payments on the building. In that environment, exactly what Russell's saying changes everything all of a sudden. Okay? For many, many congregations. Because they allow the culture to define who they were. If we will ask ourselves the hard questions and we will embrace the things that really make us the people of God, the extension of God's kingdom on the face of the earth, then when we face it, at least we've gone through the preparation of saying, yep, we're ready. We know what's important, and we're going to thrive. And the church is going to grow, just like it has in China. You can say what you want. You can do what you want. You can tell us that you're going to ridicule us. You're going to throw us in jail. But the reality is the church in China has grown and grown and grown and grown and grown now. You hear what I'm saying? Just because the enemy thinks he's doing something to get an advantage doesn't mean that he is. Because we will be prepared. We have asked the questions and we have gotten ourselves ready. We have said we will embrace what is really important. That's who we are. That's who God wants us to be. We are missionaries. Now let me explain what I mean. We are that too. Okay? There's no such thing that says we have to not. We can only be one thing. We can be an ambassador who's a missionary. We can be a missionary who's an ambassador. We can be both. All right. Here's the deal. What a missionary does is the missionary understands the culture of the gospel and the Bible. A missionary comes from another culture other than the culture of the Bible and the gospel. Okay? So if I'm going to be a missionary, I am an American from the 21st century. Okay? This is my culture. I have to understand the culture of the Bible and the gospel. I have to understand my culture because my culture can influence the way that I understand that culture and that message. But then I have to translate this message into this culture that I want to reach without letting my culture get in the way. Does that make sense to you? That's what a missionary does. They find a way to translate this to this without letting this kill them. That's what we are. We have to understand this. What is the bare essential of this so that this does not get in the way of this, so that whenever we come across the culture that we need to reach, we tell them this and not this. And believe me, we've done a lot of screwing up. Forgive me. Okay? My terminology. We've messed up in the American church a lot because we try to translate our culture church instead of the gospel. And so there's countries that look too much like the American church in the 1940s or 50s instead of looking like the indigenous church that ought to look like the way it looks in its culture. Because we're getting smarter, hopefully, but it unfortunately is because we messed up a lot. But trying to do the right thing. And we don't want to, and I'm going to use Kennedy's, you listen to Kennedy's family's testimony. You know, there were missionaries back there that did reach people in his native land that made a difference, you know, from hearing his story. There's nothing wrong with people going. It's just a matter of making sure that what you translate is this and not this. And there and all of today's exercise is realizing that what we want to do is we want to embrace this and make sure we've got this down. Because this may not last forever. Make sense? All right. Well, let's pray. Lord God, today we have let You speak to us. We have let You remind us of what's really important. And Lord, I thank You for my brothers and my sisters. And Lord, I pray that You would continue to grow us, so that we would grow up in You, that each one of us being encouraged and built up and challenged and strengthened and sometimes corrected, that, Lord, all this works together for Your glory. And that, Lord, what we communicate is what You meant to communicate. And that, Lord, we would not allow anything in to the message that is not from You. Forgive us when we've overstepped our boundaries. And, Lord, help us to show the kingdom to people and live the kingdom and embrace the kingdom, that they will come to the kingdom and that they too will understand what it means to be in Christ, to be a disciple, to give our lives, and to live with You forever. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.